But the rest was great. Chris and Mark and Kerry and David all of them died. I miss him, but I was their teacher.
Andre the Giant, what are your memories of Andre?
Fucked Andre the Giant, another piece of shit, no good motherfucker. He make $1 million in our business. And we go Europe, and we go Paris, London. People come ask for him, for autograph section. He tell the people, no, get the fuck out of here. And he's supposed to be babyface. And he tell the Mark, no, no autograph, get the fuck out of here. Since that, he was an agile. He was a piece of shit, no good motherfucker, French Canadian piece of shit.
Baby oil and blow coming through in stereo. When I'm hanging with Macaulay Culkin and John Mayer, you know we're all in. We all want to be big stars.
You saw John Mayer?
Dude, I saw fucking everybody. I was all in, bro.
I didn't know John Mayer liked wrestling.
Oh, man, the John Mayers was there.
One more check in his favor. I was having an argument about whether I should hate him or not the other day.
Nope, turns
with
out.
My old man friend, Conrad. He's a big fan of him. Thinks the guy's an excellent guitar player.
And the best,
I couldn't argue that.
The best part of it all was he wasn't in the suites like the rest of us celebrities.
Uh-huh.
He was sitting front row like it was like an episode of WCW Nitro.
Oh,
and mattered.
Sure. Get the camera on that guy.
Fuck yeah. Like, who's the star we want everybody to know that's here? Probably John Mayer.
If I could get him, I'd let people know that I got him. That's for damn sure.
We'll get to it. Let's get the
intros.
Hashtag
all in on this intro right here.
We'll get the intros out of the way here. It's me, the big time, the big O baby. With me, as always, you're going to be the Ed Kowalczyk, whatever the lead singer of Live. Yeah, the lead singer of Live to my Adam Duritz. You are Nathan Adams.
Hoi hoi, everybody. I see that you're just as excited
just
for the upcoming Live Counting Crows concert as I am.
Yeah, because
I got Saturday off, baby. This is going to be a short work week for me.
Y'all motherfuckers left Chicagoland a little too early, okay?
Yeah, that's true.
We're celebrating Counting Crows 25th anniversary.
Wrestling fans, you all hashtag all in on this Counting Crows Live 25th anniversary tour? I know I am.
You gots to be, man. You gots to be. So that's what we're doing next Saturday.
It's been such a build ever since that drunk guy playing Counting Crows songs on the jukebox at the bar convinced us to go to this show. I just feel anticipation's been getting...
I'm pretty sure we were those drunk guys.
Oh, no. Was there somebody else there? Yeah.
Oh, good for
him. That's what got you... Like, you and him were the drunk guys, I guess. I'm going to take my side apart from this.
I knew I would be one of
them. I was one of the innocent bystanders who got roped into paying for tickets to this shit. So, yeah, I'm going to consider myself...
You still haven't given me $16.
Consider myself a victim of this thing.
You still have not given me $16.
I told Yolanda to pay for me, too. She didn't give you
$32. That bitch.
You're going to have to track her down. Track her down.
So we got that going on. I'm riding like a week and a half booze.
Yeah, you haven't been back to work since the last time we spoke?
No, that last show we did where I was like, I've been drinking a lot. Like, it literally has not stopped. I have not taken one night off. I've just been going hard.
You're already trying to get me to go out tonight after we record this thing.
Yeah, we're gonna, I feel.
Okay.
I'm gonna, maybe. Who knows? I could die halfway
through
this.
I should probably drink them away.
Yeah, that's how you get it. Look how good of a mood I'm in, man. Like, I showed up, like, aces and eights, you know? Like,
I didn't know what that meant.
I didn't mean either, but it sounded great there, man.
Matt got into the cat is what I was thinking.
So we're doing good. I'm coming off all-in weekend where I was all-in. And I kept you abreast of the situation.
I was getting a lot of all-in texts the night of all-in. That's for damn sure. I feel like I saw the show myself.
I'm going to tell you right now.
What are your Meltzer star ratings? This will be our modern wrestling news segment of this week. Run down the card. What'd you like? What'd you hate? What was Macaulay Culkin? What did he like?
Yeah, so the best parts of it all were just standing outside in the hallway because I was like right next door to the pisser. So when like That's all convenient. The pseudo famous people had to go use the bathroom, they had to walk past Suite 8,
mm-hmm.
to which I'd be like, hey, come here for a second.
Yeah.
And then I'd make them talk to me,
mm-hmm.
which is funny.
Sure.
Because mostly they didn't want to.
No, I know? Wouldn't if I was them. That's for sure. I've been around you when you're drunk, and
so
it's not pleasant.
No, it's probably the best. So all the matches go in this order. Mostly, who cares? Because there was no storyline.
Sure.
Because it was a uh-huh. one-off.
Yeah.
Do you follow?
Yeah, definitely.
So the whole thing really had no point.
No. Yeah.
You get it.
I wasn't looking forward.
And
watching it.
The one thing
that's why I haven't watched it.
The one thing that did have point.
Okay.
They put like almost midway through the show.
That NWA title match,
yeah.
Cody Rhodes'
yeah.
coronation as the new champion of nothing.
Why the fuck? Like,
here's your crown, King Nothing.
You're only
the champion of an organization that doesn't exist.
Your only storyline in this whole pay-per-view is we're trying to make that NWA strap mean something again.
Okay. How'd they do?
They did great.
Macaulay Culkin seemed like he cares about the NWA now.
Sure, everybody was like, hot.
Gotta back the Mac.
Everybody was hot for it, but it was the third fucking match on the card. Like,
oh no.
Yeah.
Then what?
A lot of other stuff. Marty Scurll versus Okada.
Oh, I bet that was good.
They were good matches, but like, I've seen enough.
Were they having real matches, or was it like that fucking grab ass and goof off shit like the last time we tried to go to a fucking indie show?
It was a little.
And I left disgusted, vowing never to watch any indie wrestling again.
The best way I could describe the matches would be New Japan Pro Wrestling Light.
Okay, so they weren't
like
out there busting their asses,
yeah,
but they were kind of just like trying to
have real
matches.
Everybody was taking it a little more serious.
It wasn't like 42 super kicks in a row, and then everybody gives each other a chain of human centipede suplex
it was like
bullshit.
Right. It was the best way to get American audiences who have no idea about Japanese
mm-hmm,
wrestling,
mm-hmm.
like how to get them acclimated a little bit.
You white people are so uncultured.
Yeah. It wasn't bad. But it just wasn't great. Like I said, the only thing that really mattered was Cody winning that belt, and they put it on like maybe halfway through their main card.
Well, you know,
and it's like how do you not
Young Bucks gotta do lots of flippies in the main event, brother?
No, they
That's
did.
What people
it
come
was
here
in
to
the
see.
Main event with Rey Mysterio, and they ran out of time, and they did the Meltzer driver real quick just to end it
because
they ran out of time on their pay per view.
First time guys trying to format a show, there's bound to be some hiccups.
But enough about that. That's boring. Let's talk about what really happened at the pay per view.
Uh huh.
All right. So I go to the bathroom.
Sure.
Right. I gotta take a leak. Come around the corner.
5-star leak.
Bam! I walk right in. To fucking X-Pac, Sean Waltman, right? And I'm like, oh man, really didn't expect you there. My apologies.
What did he smell like?
Despair, mostly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Ew.
And he immediately turns, he's like, oh, it's cool, brother. You know, because he's got that, like, I'm Sean Waltman.
I smell like grandpa's living room.
It's cool, brother. And I'm like, okay, man, cool. And like, he's just like the whole time just like playing with his nose.
Allegedly.
Sniffing? What do you mean sniffing?
Sniffing with his nose.
Jerry, he probably had a cold.
No, he didn't. I asked him.
So what do you say?
I don't know. You know, what if...
Drugs? You think he's on drugs?
I don't know.
Jerry,
all I know is he was sniffing.
Listen, we went in on a CD together.
I know.
And Newman gave you money, too. See, I didn't even meet this guy. You know, we trusted you.
Look, it doesn't necessarily mean anything yet. It just means he was sniffing.
Well, what else? Was he nervous? Did he use a lot of slang? Did he use the word man?
No, he didn't use man.
I mean, when he was leaving, did he say, I'm splitting?
No, but at one point, he did use the bathroom. You think that's a bad sign?
Yes, yes, that's what they do. They live in the bathroom.
And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I know what you were doing. And so I take a leak. Waltman leaves. And then the dude at the opposite end of the urinals looks over at me. He goes, hey, oh, and I'm like, that was nuts, right? He goes, yeah, you missed all that cocaine he was doing.
Got caught the tail end.
Yeah,
of it.
And I was
a
like, well,
toot.
Yeah, a little
it's all
something.
In weekend, a little bit of partying going on, you know, just keep it in check, Mr. Waltman.
Right.
We're here for you.
So I see Macaulay Culkin.
Mm-hmm. How much cocaine was he doing?
He seemed just weird.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like on drugs.
He claims
but
that
just
he's
weird.
Never done drugs and doesn't do drugs at all. And I kind of believe him.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's a little bit too weird to do drugs. That was, makes sense.
That was the vibe he gave, was just like, probably a lot of adult grown-ups did weird things
to your young child butthole. Grown men's penises as a young child than most people do. Like,
right.
There's got to be a lot of weirdness going on with that little noggin of his, adorable little toe-headed noggin.
You don't need drugs to make you nuts. You're just already nuts.
Hey, Mark. Don't fuck with me.
He was a short individual.
Yeah.
I thought he was taller than me.
Tiny guy. No,
he is not.
He didn't set up any traps up there in the suite level in the Sears Center?
Well, I didn't go. I'm not dumb.
Yeah, definitely.
I've seen the movies.
Smart. Stay out of that suite.
They were like, Matt, you go first. And I was like, I'm going to be the one to touch the fucking handle that's got the fucking, you know.
No.
Yeah, the
That'd
hot.
That'd be cool if you had an M burnt into your hand, though, because your name's Matt.
That's true.
We should do that.
Matt and.
Go out after this. I'll burn an M into your hand when we're at the bar.
That's why you're my friend. So right after I see Macaulay Culkin, Scott Hall comes.
Hey, yo.
Yeah. And he's like, hey, yo.
How much cocaine was he doing?
Ooh. He didn't look very sure on his feet.
Ooh.
I don't have any proof that he was doing anything he shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
But he did not look steady on his feet.
Take care of the legal stuff here. We're not putting out any allegations.
No, I'm just saying he was using kind of the wall. Just like, I need to know where the wall is at all points. And then he's just like,
brother.
You know, people are like getting him in the hallway. And he's just like, I got to get to the bathroom. I'm dying. And he looks at me like, dead on in the eyes, sees into my soul, and I'm just like, sold out.
This is gonna be
not the pay per view
these days.
Yeah, well, that a little bit, and I'm like, Scotty, it's right there, man. Just a couple steps further, take a left. There's the bathroom. He gives me like
left
the,
you
oh,
a little present.
You, thank
stall
you.
Number two
gives me a good head nod.
Forgot to flush,
and then one of the original members of the clique too sweets me.
Too sweet, brother.
Too sweets, man. And
as you probably heard that we both went to school with Paul Gilmartin. He was probably listening
sure,
to the podcast.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, yo, baby, yeah. Old blow, man. You guys and Pauly G.
You guys are friends with Pauly G.
NWO for life.
So we too sweet.
Mm-hmm.
He goes about his business.
Too sweet.
Seconds after that, who do I fucking see?
Lay it on me.
Conrad Thompson.
Oh, old Connie boy himself.
He was in a walking cast.
How does his cheekbones look?
I was sad. Oh, delightful.
Walking cast? Is he taking bumps?
I don't know. He's somewhere
supposed
wrong
to
with
be Cadillacing
it.
He's
ankle.
A broadcaster.
No, he had no crutches or anything, but he did have a walking boot on. You know,
Who I saw the other day who had a walking boot on? That old guy who hosts Noir Alley on Turner Classics Movies. He was really just hobbling around. And
is he
I was
okay?
Like, oh, yeah. He seemed like he was at the tail end of his recovery. Nice guy, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
That's good. I hope one of his children didn't show
him
trying to collect money.
Meeting D-list celebrities and walking casts. It's a weird thing going on.
But Conrad came past, and I was like, oh, shit, you're Conrad. And he's like, yeah, I am. And he cheers me. We clinked drinks, and he was very affable. He was a nice guy. He was like,
let's cut to the fucking chase.
Thanks for being here. You want the big story?
How was that salsa? I saw you guys had some salsa setups going on in that suite right there.
So we did have...
Quit yanking my dick and tell me about the spread.
Chips and salsa station set up, okay? Some folks complained about the chips being stale.
You're going to have that.
They were just
heavy. It's Hoffman Estates.
Heavy with salt. I don't know.
Hoffman Estates chips, they're not going to be the greatest.
I kept explaining to everybody, look, take it easy on the staff at the Sears Center here, okay?
Yeah. Their lives are not great.
Well, here's the thing. They're basing this entire wrestling show, like the Bucks and Cody Rhodes came at them and were like, we're going to do a wrestling show. Mm-hmm. And they're like, that's fine. Give us your money. And that was the last they talked to them, right?
Sure.
They didn't know that the show sold out. They just knew they were doing a wrestling show.
You were talking
they
to
were
the
like,
staff about this?
No,
like,
I just didn't know? No, I know matter of factly. They're like, okay, you booked a wrestling show.
Sure.
And they were all like, guys, it's cool. We're going to phone it in. We did one of these a couple years ago. It was called TNA's Bound for Glory.
Like 600 or 700 people showed up.
Yeah,
it was basically
that's
a night
off. Number. Yeah. That's a generous number. 250 people. The only thing we got to worry about is one of these idiots lights themselves on fire and we don't know how to put them out.
Yeah, that
AKA
happened.
Abyss. So
you can crack a couple of the windows because these wrestling fans can really raise up a stink when you get a few of them together.
So I tip my hat to the Sears Center people. They did the best job they could. So I'm in there. I'm getting down on some chips and salsa. I see Raven walk by, and I'm like,
Scotty Flamingo?
Yeah, the one and the same. And I'm
How's
like,
he looking? He's probably looking pretty good.
As
these
I told him, I said, looking good.
Oh, really?
To which he gave me a
Not
thumbs up.
Not what I was expecting.
Well, he's just kind of looked the same for the last 10 years, which is
bad.
Just like,
pretty bad.
But it's been the same.
Okay.
It's been the same. So it didn't look worse. So I was like, looking good.
All right.
And he walked the best.
That's impressive.
So I was like, looking good. And he goes,
he's got that one leg that's too short.
Yeah, he does. And
that doesn't speak well for all the other ones if he's walking the best.
He had pretty cool, like, Timberland, like, winter-esque boots that he was wearing for no reason in the, like, high 80,
part of that
90
rap
degree.
Game. Yeah.
So I tell him he's looking good. He's like, oh, thanks. And then it, like, hits my brain, like, oh, shit, I got something to talk to you about. And I give him, like, the hold on as he walks past.
Raven, I'm going to need you to stop and acknowledge me.
I did.
Important things to talk about here.
I literally gave him the hold on as he was walking past, like, the one finger up, hold on. And he, like, out of human being politeness was, like, okay. And then was, like, realizing, like, oh, these are all wrestling fans.
Yeah, like,
I
what
probably
am I
shouldn't
doing?
Be stopping. So I catch him. I'm like,
made a big mistake. Never talk to the fucking Marks.
I'm like, hey, man, the other night I just saw Dinosaur Jr. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's a great band, man.
Yeah,
I was like,
fucking
yeah.
A.
It's like, seen him before. They fucking ripped, dude. Like, it was a good
show. That's
why
you were my favorite wrestler in the 90s. You always wrestled in that Dinosaur Jr. t-shirt, brother.
Well, that's the thing. I was like, the reason I bring it up is like, my buddy just sent me a gif of you in the old Dinosaur Jr. shirt. And he's like, yeah. Like, that shirt, like, it was blue, which sucked because, like, it was supposed to be black.
Yeah, fuck.
But, like, it was a really cool shirt.
Late 90s, you wear black shirts and nothing else.
Yeah,
the wrestling fans never got the memo that that's over. They're still just rocking the only black shirts.
I just love the fact that that guy's taken a lot of hits to the head and he's done, like, way too many drugs, but, like, instantly was like, I know exactly what Dinosaur Jr. shirt you're talking about,
sir. How was that Dinosaur Jr. show? They rip it up again?
Yeah, they ripped it up
still
again.
Shredding?
It's great.
Still zero stage banter and zero talking to each
other?
They
do not talk to each other.
God, they hate each other. I love
they
that.
They do not look at each other.
I love how much they hate each other, and they can still just get up there and just fucking shred.
The only time they had a good time was they did an encore and brought out, like, a dude from a local band to sing a song, and it was, the interaction was just Jay Maskus, like, hollering at him, like, hey, music's fun, right? You know, like, that kind of thing. And then as soon as he left, it was like, no.
You know it's not fun, though? My bandmates, so I'm fucking out of here.
I hate all these guys. And that was pretty much all in. Oh, one big piece left from that story.
Okay.
After the show, we were worried about getting cut off from booze.
Oh, so we started always a worry.
Yeah, we started buying the Miller Lights two at a time, you know? You got to be ready.
You got to.
So we're slamming through those, Davey R. Scheister and I. And we're like, we got to get rid of these beers before we leave.
Clearly.
So, yeah, so we drink them real quick, which puts us in a pretty good condition to drive home. So we get out of the arena and we just start accosting people like, hey, where's the after party? And like, some people are like, oh, you guys are drunk, leave us alone. And then finally we get it, like,
some people are like, hey, you guys are drunk, come over here.
Right.
We're drunk too. Those are the people you got to find.
No. Even better. We found the ones that were big enough wrestling nerds that were too afraid to say anything to us, but like genuinely knew where the after party would be.
Oh, there was an
after party. So they were like, we'll just give you the information you want, but please leave us be.
Perfect. Where was the after party?
I don't remember. They said a hotel.
Which strip club was the after party at?
Right. They didn't even name one. They said like some kind of hotel. And I was like, yeah, wrestlers stay at those. That makes sense. So we're like, okay, thanks. Have a good night. And then I immediately Irish whipped Davey R. Scheister into one of those like police barricades.
Oh, wow. He probably didn't like that.
He took a hard bump into it and just went ass over tea kettle backwards and just completely ate it, right?
Brother.
And I was like, whew, that was a really big scene. I'm just going to keep walking.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like make this a bigger thing. I'm just going to keep going.
Get out of here.
So he gets himself up.
I've done it.
He's going to like walk away. And then a cop's like, get back here. And Dave's like, oh, he's got to deal with the cops now.
Dave's getting arrested.
So I'm like, man, he's the last person to talk to the cops. So the cop's like,
what are you talking about? That guy's a fucking narc. I bet he was loving talking to that cop.
He's like, pick that thing up, man. And so Dave picks it up. And he's like, you and your buddy, you're drunk and you're going to get in your car. Dave, I don't know where he pulls this out of. He's like, no, man, we're going to our lift.
Oh, there you go. And there the cop, you go.
Cop's like, no, you guys are drunk. And he's like, yeah, that's why we're going to our lift.
Duh. Exactly, like this is our first rodeo, brother.
And the cop begrudgingly is just like, oh, the other guy's gone already. Mm-hmm. So, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe.
No.
And he lets Dave go, and then we just Dave drive drunk home.
Drunk yeah. drove out of there.
Yeah.
God bless you. You're one of the real heroes of the world.
Yeah, we were all in.
You know what I'm all in. I'm all in on this rundown we're doing right now.
Unfortunately, we got the fun shit out of the way. Let's talk about the rest of the show.
Hey, we got a rundown. It's going to be brought to us by
John Mayer,
Smith & Cross, Jamaican pot still rum.
Oh.
I broke a bottle of last night. Had a nice bottle and broke all over the floor or the street when I was sucker punched by a hobo coming out of the blue line.
What?
Yeah.
You really got sucker punched by a hobo?
I'm out buying rum downtown, you know. You got to go to that South Loop Binnie's to get all the obscure shit. They got everything.
What time, what time of the evening is this?
This is like an 11 o'clock at night. I'm coming back to the commuter rail station, you know, get out here. So I'm coming up the steps. As soon as I come up to the steps, just out of nowhere, I get sucker punched. And then, you know, I'm on the fucking floor.
Where'd he hit you?
Right here on this red spot on my face, brother.
Oh, there's a tiny... Yeah. It just looks like a zit. Like
he didn't do a real good job.
Yeah, you're
but,
pretty
you know,
unblemished.
He blindsided me, and I was on the ground. This fucking expensive-ass bottle of rum I just bought just explodes. I just hear it explode. I'm looking around like, what the fuck just happened to me? And I noticed that there's a homeless guy standing over me, like, screaming shit. Like, you got a problem with me? You got a problem with me? And I'm like, oh, holy shit.
Now,
so then I did what any discerning gentleman does in this situation. I kicked him in the peter.
Nice!
As he was dealing with that, you know, like I stood up. So I back on my feet, back on equal footing. And then this guy's sort of screaming crazy. But, you know, now I'm up
paying attention.
I'm on my feet. So he doesn't want anything else to do with it. So he walks away. So I'm looking around and I'm like, holy fuck, what happened? And like I see there's a bottle busted everywhere. And I'm like, oh, which one was that? Not the expensive. And I was like, it's the fucking expensive one. It's done. And I like had to get my phone flashlight out and like look for my fucking, you know, one of my AirPods fell out somewhere. So
Did you find it?
I got it. I got myself together, made sure my other bottles weren't broke. Then I was just like, what the fuck? I'm kind of mad now. So then I start following the guy.
Nice.
And I'm like,
I'm going to track you down to your hobo village.
Just going to like beat this guy up or something at this point. Like, I'm pretty mad.
I love when you can get blinded with that kind of rage. You know what I'm saying?
I walk in a couple blocks and I start thinking to myself, like, I legitimately just got like fucking off papers 1 week ago.
Yeah.
If anybody is going to get arrested for like fighting somebody who attacks them on the street, it's going to be me.
That's fair.
So chill the fuck out. Don't fight this guy. So then I'm just like walking behind him. Like, what do I fucking do? Like, this guy's just walking around sucker punching people.
Yeah.
And like, I'm at the Daily Center and there's this security guard who's sort of walking the fucking perimeter. And at this point, like, you know, the guy notices I'm following him. He's like, hey, what are you doing? And I'm just like sticking my middle finger up. And I'm like, don't worry about what I'm doing, you fucking asshole. And he's like, you got a problem? I'm like, yeah, I got a problem. You fucking attacked me, you dumb asshole. So then, like, I'm like, hey, security guy, you work here, right? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, you know this guy? He's like, yeah, he's always walking around this block. He's got mental problems. And I'm like, yeah, I know he's got mental problems. I'm like, dude fucking sucker punched me, like, threw me on the ground, started trying to kick me and shit. Like, what do I do, man? Like, is there any good that can come of me calling the fucking cops right now and, like, getting this guy? And the guy's like, they're just going to pick him up and drive him to a different neighborhood and drop him back off somewhere. And I was like, yeah, I fucking know, man. So I was just like, all right, well, just keep an eye on him because he's fucking attacking people tonight.
Yeah.
And I went into a bar and I looked into, like, I was in the bathroom. I looked in the mirror and I noticed that my face was all fucking red. And I was like, oh, I got sucker, because I didn't even realize I got sucker punched. It's like, I was just coming up the steps and next thing I know, I was on the ground and I was like, what the fuck happened? I was like, oh yeah, I got punched right there in my face, huh? So then I drank some whiskey and tried to forget about it.
Yeah. We'll drink more tonight.
Good, yeah. So
I like that you dick kicked him. Some people say
no,
that's fighting dirty.
All fighting is dirty.
Yeah, all fighting.
I'll tell you to your
You're
face.
You're standing over me, yelling at me.
Tell
just
you.
Leaving your dick fucking
to
open.
To your face. You
First thing I'm doing
me.
Is kicking you in the dick.
I'll dick kick you all day, man.
So Smith and Cross Rum.
This guy was kind of a Keith David to your Roddy Roddy Piper. I was hoping for more of a They Live hobo fight.
He had a nice like white button-up shirt that wasn't buttoned at all look going on.
Well, duh.
So, you know, he's a real rambling, gambling
out.
Man.
Yeah.
Smith and Cross Rum, not going to get to drink any tonight. But good product. So it's bringing us this rundown of Primetime Wrestling from April 4th, 1988. First match of this episode, we got the Canadian Strongman, Dino Bravo, in there against the Birdman, Coco Beware.
A.K.A. Who Cares?
Bravo wins after a side suplex. I wrote in my notes a little here, not a terrible match. For a Dino Bravo match, I wasn't too mad at it.
Okay. I'll
Second match, Bad News Brown in there versus Brady Boone, one of our favorites. Brown, he wins with the Ghetto Blaster, but it's, you know, after he beats Boone pillar to post and like he's doing that thing where he can pin him, but he keeps pulling him up on two just to be a dickhead, and he's attacking him more after the bell. This is Bad News Brown's a real jerk, as it turns out.
Yeah.
Third match, the Outlaw, Ron Bass, in there with some squirt named Rick Hunter, some real just fucking little twerp. Piece
was
of crap.
Old.
He's a big old fat guy. Actually, Bass wins with like just kind of like that pseudo pedigree he does. It's like a pedigree except he doesn't double underhook the arms.
He stole the move from Harley Race.
Of course, everybody steals everything from Harley Race. That guy's the king. King. Boring squash match. Just an excuse to set up a confrontation with Junkyard Dog. But that's pretty cool because he strangles Junkyard Dog with his bullwhip.
Well, hell yeah.
One half of the Jumping Bomb Angels, Norio Tateno.
Tateno!
In there versus one half of the Glamour Girls, Leilani Kai. Tateno wins after Kai collides with Jimmy Hart, and then, you know, she gets a little roll-up action or something, and then there's some sort of pin.
It doesn't matter.
Andre the Giant. Brian Costello.
South Bend,
one
Indiana
on
zone.
One. South Bend, Indiana zone. Another Hoosier boy. Match never really happens. Andre just throws Costello out of the ring before the bell. It's just an excuse for Hacksaw to come out and issue a challenge to Andre the Giant. And he's mad that he interfered in his match at WrestleMania 4. So now these guys are going at it.
Get over yourself.
Final match? Unless I just fell asleep after this? And
no.
Stop paying attention? Okay.
No, you didn't.
Big main event. Boris Zukov in there versus George the Animal Steel. This one ends in a disqualification after Zukov and his partner, other half of the Bolsheviks, just start beating down Steel, and then Steel goes nuts, starts throwing chairs everywhere.
Yeah. The match doesn't matter. The big story is who's on commentary?
A young whippersnapper by the name of Bruce Pritchard.
Goddamn right.
That's right. He's in there with Lord Alfred, and it was kind of a shit show. Talk about that later.
I got an idea.
Getting to a five count right here.
Put Pritchard on the mic.
This is where we dig deep into this episode that is kind of a shallow pool, so we're not gonna be digging too deep.
Not at all.
We kind of talked a lot about Surface bullshit at the level. Beginning of the episode, because this one's gonna go by quick. I can feel it.
So, you know, you got a little extra bullshit. We'll find more. We always do. I'm sure this is on your list, so we're already getting
I know there's not much to talk about, so like it's gonna be the same fives probably at both our sides all the way through.
First fucking thing I noticed when the episode starts, we are one week removed from WrestleMania 4.
Yes, we are.
And they already got the fucking VHS out there on the desk, man.
Okay, this is one of my points.
Yeah.
That's my first one, is that this entire show exists. Like, they didn't have any of these matches taped or any idea they were going to put them on TV. They just put a couple on to fill time that they're laying around.
Like,
because this whole show is an infomercial to sell the Coliseum home video release of WrestleMania 4.
But that, my friends,
that big, beautiful double VHS.
Yeah, that, my friends, is why they are still in business.
I should address the elephant in the room right now. I guess I didn't. We said last week we were going to be doing the March 28th episode of Primetime Wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
We
yeah.
skipped that because it was just a clip show of Tuesday Night Titans greatest hits, and it would have been incoherent and impossible trying to talk about just like 300 short clips of skits and no matches. Like, I didn't think
it would have been like a episode of NWA's WCW.
It would have been exactly like that. So that's why we're on the April 4th. I know probably at this point you're all very confused.
Everybody's
heads are goddamn spinning.
Yeah, you follow the product very closely. We know.
So 1 week it was all just a clip show to kill some time, get out of WrestleMania 4. This week's just all about selling that WrestleMania VHS, and it's clear they put zero effort into putting this show together whatsoever.
But either way, 1 week later,
1 week later.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's right. That's right. Got WrestleMania
Mania
on the weekend.
Was on what, 27th
Monday,
the 28th.
They blow off the show at the clip show. One week later, basically. It's like 1 week and a day, probably. Yeah. They're already fucking
a
got a VHS
a
coming out. They're already hocking
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they got the VHS. They got the slip cover. It's all there. And it's not like a fake one that they're selling. Like, this is what you're going to find in the stores from Coliseum Home Video.
Oh, yeah, that double VHS of WrestleMania 4 was beautiful.
The product,
I rented that from
man.
Video Visions several times.
It's got a pop out center gate with Hogan that scared the shit
yeah, if you got like
out
a,
of the brain.
If you got a copy of that with the pop up thing isn't tore off. You could probably sell that for some money right
I'm gonna
now.
I'm going to go on eBay right now. I'm going to say you don't find one for under $125.
No, there's no way.
Results
I'm gonna
to
go
come
on
later.
Microsoft Market. That's the site I use. I don't use eBay.
Yeah, like you got to tell me. Oh, that's where all the big finds.
If you haven't used it, just Bing it. You'll find
you got
it.
Got the scores.
It's a great
those
site.
Are the
it's
scores.
Got better stuff.
So, again, that's why they are still in business, because they weren't using this show or WrestleMania itself to promote other shows.
That's right.
They were like, hey, give us your money.
We're in the business of giving you the business, and business is good.
Real good.
Yeah, that was also my number one. Just not hard to pick up on the fact that this is just a straight fucking infomercial this week.
Right. Absolutely. My number two doesn't come till Bad News Brown. I don't know if you wanted to talk
about
fucking Coco and
Dino. My number two was just, no, it's actually way after that. I don't have any notes about any of these matches, really, like at all.
Oh, okay.
So my number two is just about that Junkyard Dog Outlaw Ron Bass confrontation, and I thought it was real cool because
Hold on,
JYD.
I'll get to that. Let me get this one out of the way, and we'll talk about that.
Okay.
Obviously, we're going to have a lot of shared ones here.
Sure.
I'm just putting Bad News Brown versus Brady Boone.
Okay, yeah.
Because this was the official segment where I couldn't get my arm up
this
that
your
third
tap
time.
Out already? Wasn't that like the first match?
This was the second match.
Okay, tapped out in
the
second
match. I made it through
match.
Coco versus Dino, and then this was me settling in at about 7:30 in the evening.
Okay, yeah.
I've been drinking for days on days.
See, yeah.
I made it through All In. I made it through a Labor Day barbecue with jet skis. I made it through an entire trip to Detroit. WWF was finally like,
magnifique.
Take it easy for a second, man. Just kind of.
Yeah, I watched this second, morning brother. When there was no reason for me to be like anything other than bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And I got to say, that women's match is where I found myself like not paying any attention and realizing that I had just completely zoned out.
Hey.
And was no longer watching the show.
Everybody's got a price, you know?
Yeah. If you watch these primetime wrestlings, you're definitely going to pay.
Right. So I put this match in there as a thumbs up because it happened. I'm not really sure much.
That's
I know
true.
The Ghetto Blaster happened. And I'm just going to say, Brady Boone was in there.
Yeah, Brady Boone. Nice, so, couple nice little comebacks. Made Brown look real tough when he's able to keep swatting down those comebacks and just beat him over and over again.
Yeah.
Both guys got over. One was a fiery underdog. One's just kind of an unstoppable bruiser. Yeah. My number two is just, talking about that strangulation. And I love that JYD was foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog.
That was cool.
When he was getting strangled, it was a great visual. It fit his character because he's a dog and he's foaming at the mouth like a dog. And we got a feud going now. That was one thing that this show did other than...
created a feud.
It created a couple feuds, which is nice. We got some new stuff going forward. So not a complete waste of time.
I liked the feud.
We got a few things going.
I liked the feud angle as well. But
it's just a great visual. All that gross foam coming out of his mouth.
I also liked Outlaw Ron Bass fighting this old guy that somebody's grandpa.
Because... two burly men who can't really move very well.
And that's
just
the
in
best
there
part.
Rolling around
that's
in the ring like a couple
part.
Of idiots.
So the jobber Rick Hunter, which was the main character in Robotech's name, which was out at the same time, just so you know.
Cashing in on that Robotech craze.
Might have been. He looks like somebody's grandpa / maybe your U.S. history teacher in high school.
Mr. Miller.
You're like, man, this guy. Like, you remember like... when Monday Night Raw like would start showing Harley Race in like the front row and stuff, like when Orton was doing the like Legend Killer stuff.
Oh, sure.
And you're like, oh, he looks a little too old to be putting him out there. That's what this guy kind of looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And what was his idea? Like, yeah, I'm a little up there in age. What should I do? Mat wrestling, technical wrestling.
Yeah.
Some like quick
couple of hippos
jumps.
Out there rolling around on the ground. It was not pretty to watch.
This match had the slowest sunset flip I have ever seen.
Get the award ready.
Rick Hunter is in the corner.
We're handing it to you. Slowest sunset flip ever.
Rick Hunter's in the corner. Outlaw comes charging in head first like a spear. And I don't know how, but Rick Hunter got at least 3 inches off of the ground to somewhat jump over Ron Bass's head.
There you go.
Where his big old belly got stuck on Outlaw's big old back and butt. Mm-hmm. And then he just kind of slowly slid down the back of his legs until he kind of got into a roll-up position.
It was gross. It seemed like I was watching bear porn when I was watching this match.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was just slow. It was chubby. Yeah. And it did not look like a fight whatsoever. It looked like just two chubbos playing with each other.
And for all of you wrestling fans that love wrestling but just aren't into bear porn, go ahead and throw a...
What the fuck? Have you ever even watched it?
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen an Arn Anderson match? Throw his name in the Bing box with a bear, you know, gay bear porn.
You're going to get some results, I bet.
Internet's got all sorts of stuff about Arn Anderson and bears, you know? Mm. It's weird. It's
people
a weird thing.
Fanfic.
Yeah.
I bet. What are we on?
Oh, I got the match right after that. The Norio Totino versus Jumping Bonnie Angel.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that a little bit too.
I just want to talk about it because, man, we live in 2018 currently.
Mm-hmm. Last time I checked.
You can tell Bobby checked out early because he wouldn't have made it this day and age in the Me Too era.
Match had a racist comment about every 30 seconds, I'm
racist and sexist.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Oh, if we weren't making fun of women, we were making fun of the Asian girl. If we weren't making fun of the Asian girl, we were back to making fun of women.
At one point, he compared them bumping on the mat to Japanese suicide pilots crashing their planes into aircraft carriers during World War II.
He stated that the Japanese wrestler was not used to taking that big of a bump onto the mat because they're only used to bumping onto aircraft carriers.
It's not even a joke.
No.
It's just, what the fuck, Heenan?
Here's the other thing, man. This is 1988.
Uh-huh.
How is fucking Pearl Harbor 40 plus years ago, still that relevant,
not
man.
Timeliest reference. I did like when the one Jumping Bomb Angel runs out to go get her partner so she can have some backup, and he said, I'm surprised she could make it. She was outside selling squid when I came in. It's just like Asian people eat weird seafood.
Okay. Pew, pew, pew. So you were a product.
Heenan, I love you, man.
You're a product of the cable.
Stuff's not the best.
The cable era?
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know,
I am the product of the cable
era.
They
would show the
movies.
What happens. I was hanging out with Maria's cousin, Mary Beth, a couple nights ago.
Fine lady. She's a fine lady.
She's a very nice lady. And we were talking about Goonies. And we were...
Okay.
We started talking about making mixtapes on cassettes, to which her husband, Mo, who is a year older, so he's your age...
let's not go giving people's ages out on this podcast.
Either way, he's in our demographic, had no idea about making mixtapes.
What?
We're like, didn't you have a boombox or whatever in your room? He's like, no. We're like, what if you wanted to listen to music? He's like, well, I did it in the living room.
I think all he thinks about is numbers is the thing.
He's
when
like,
he was a kid, he just sat around and thought about
numbers.
Well,
that was the thing I came up with. I was like, well, that's why he's a lawyer and we're not. It's because we were worried about taping shit off the radio. But Mary Beth was talking about taping movies off of cable.
Mm-hmm.
And she remembered a scene from Goonies that no one else remembered.
Oh, because they put some shit in to pad it out to sell more ads.
There
fill
you
up
go.
More time. Yeah, that's an old thing that happened a lot.
And it's a scene, they're in the water, it's towards the end, and Data gets attacked by a big old octopus.
Oh, I didn't know that was ever... I thought that was famously like... All that footage was scrapped.
Yeah, no. It was. They used to show it on cable because she had it on tape.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because it's in the theatrical edit, they mention the giant squid or whatever and your octopus, and you're just like, what the fuck are they talking about? There was never a giant octopus. Yeah.
So it attacks Data, and he goes, oh no, real big sushi.
Whoo.
So, you know, along the lines
of
the...
So this stood out to the Asian girl as she was watching this as a young child because, you know, it's so racist against Asians, I'm going to say. That's why she remembers this moment.
No, she just thought that that was like a regular part of the movie and kept telling people about it. And they're like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And I've seen that movie millions of times.
Listen, lady, you're crazy.
And then she realized, like, oh, it got cut because it's really offensive.
Mm. No, like, I think it was just, I don't know. I forget. There's a whole story about that. There's lore about the fucking octopus scene out there somewhere.
Well, either way, Heenan, he was a fan of that scene.
Yeah. So I just wrote, like, this woman's match feels like it's 5 hours long.
Oh, absolutely.
Not even Heenan making racist comments about suicide bombers can liven it up. I gotta say, though, the crowd was just dead tired, just asleep, just couldn't care less. But
yeah,
once Jimmy Hart got involved at the end, suddenly they came alive and everybody was popping for that finish. So Jimmy Hart works wonders, man. This guy's a real miracle worker.
That's because there's nothing greater than Jimmy Hart running as fast as he possibly can to get away from a woman.
Just doing laps around the ring and running his mouth like a little dog.
Not just doing like
him.
A...
I love him.
He wasn't doing like a, oh, this is the part where you chase me.
No, yeah.
He was like probably legitimately really terrified. Like running as hard as he could. And it's just like, this motherfucker knows fair, how though, to sell it.
Those were some thick-ass women. I probably would have been a little bit scared too.
Yeah, but he was running from the thinner of the two.
Mm.
I like the thighs on that one that was in the ring.
Ooh, yeah. Baby. I don't know what you're talking about.
There was some comment about her thighs from the brain, but I don't know. Buried with the rest of the horribly offensive things he said.
Yeah, he literally made like 9 or 10 just like not even Asian jokes. It was just like, this is something Asians do that are different than us.
Yeah. It just got to a point where like the match kept going. And he was just like, I don't know, man. Just, I don't know.
I was right there with him on being disgusted at how long we had to watch this shit. What number are you at?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I think that was my 4.
That was your 4? Okay. My 4. Talking a little bit about that Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Andre the Giant confrontation.
Oh my gosh, that's
my
5th.
A big challenge. He says he wants to have him in a match, and then Andre starts strangling Duggan. They have a big like thing. My question was, what the hell made Duggan bleed? Like, was he just doing blood capsules to put over the Andre strangling him? Was like giving him internal injuries or? Something, I rewind it trying to catch it. Like, did Andre catch him, like, with his hand in some way? Like,
they said
instantly just blood starts gushing out of his fucking mouth.
They said his big-ass hand caught him in the mouth. And,
it was a cool visual either way. I just couldn't figure out what I was supposed to be, like, thinking, like, as to why he was bleeding or what was happening.
The blood looked pretty legit, though, because if it was like
I thought so, too.
If it was a blood capsule, it would have been all over his tongue.
So, I don't know, some freak-like thing where he bit his tongue when Andre was going to strangle him or something,
it
maybe.
I think he, like, just literally, like, clipped his lip against his teeth, you know, that kind of a thing.
Andre's choking him. Hacksaw's got blood pouring out of his mouth. It looked
everywhere.
Real cool. And then he gets him down on the ground choking him. Hacksaw picks up his board off the ground and then gives Andre a big old whack on the forehead. Andre, you know, does the old timber, and he's knocked out, and we got a sleeping giant is the pun they used fucking 18 or 19 times.
Yeah.
We get it, guys. It's very clever. But once again, we got another feud starting, and I thought this feud also popping off pretty well. It's the type of shit you don't see these days. A guy strangling a guy, and he foams everywhere. A guy choking a guy, and he bleeds everywhere. And now there's a score to settle, and they're going to have a real fight where they're real mad. This is the type of shit about wrestling I like. This is what I used to like about wrestling.
Shit kind of matters.
I don't know why wrestling doesn't do it anymore.
I wanna back it up a little bit here because they actually set this one up earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, they're doing another shitty WrestleMania recap. Like, I can skip through all this. And I happened to see, after they showed the DiBiase-Dugan match, they had a little promo where Jimmy Duggs was upset.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm coming for you, tough guy.
Andre,
I want you.
You man stole
to man.
My dream from me by knocking me out of that tournament.
I want you mano to mano. And was like, okay.
Mano E. Duggan.
And I was like, I guess they're setting up a feud here. And then it was like, bam, later in the show. There it is. They laid it out.
My favorite part of the whole thing, though, was when Andre was knocked out, and then he finally came to, and he starts throwing all the officials around. The best part is when he attacks the cameraman.
Yeah.
He punches the cameraman, and the cameraman's
shaking,
afraid to drop the camera.
Right.
So he does this, like, hilarious, horrible sell where he's trying to pretend like he's knocked out, but he's still holding on to the top rope.
I'm so wobbly.
And just, like, very nervous about holding the camera, and, like, people are running over to take the camera from him, and then like 5 minutes after Andre has punched him, then he can sell that he's now knocked out from being punched by Andre.
Yeah.
Because Andre, just, you know, bump the fucking ex-wrestlers in the suits and the indie guys out there in security shirts. Don't be attacking the cameraman. They don't know what the fuck they're doing.
I also really like old, but not quite as old, Pat Patterson in that maroon suit.
Constantly old Pat Patterson. Yeah. The man was never young.
Like, he had dark hair, but it was like that old man dark hair, like Jerry's dad in Seinfeld, you know?
It was more just dark from tobacco than it was like actual pigment in his hair in these days. Andre tried to like stomp that one guy's head pretty good when he was running, like one of those security guys that was laying on the ground,
which was weird.
That was a dick move, man. Like, he could have killed, he looked like he tried to kill that guy. Like, that was not, he like ran at him full speed, like stomped down where his head was supposed to be with his full fucking weight. The guy luckily just like got a grazing blow, just clipped the end of it. It was just like, Andre, you could have fucking squashed that guy's fucking head like a grape.
Yeah, you're a big dude.
That big moron's out of control.
Great angle, though. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, what a visual. Here's this giant that's lost his mind, blah, blah, blah. And you don't have that because giants aren't built like that anymore. They're just like, this guy can do stuff. Look at him. He's very physical. Wow. He's athletic.
Look at you. You can do a flip just like everybody else. Everybody can flip. Lottie fucking die.
And you know what? I was singing his praises a couple nights ago, but he kind of destroyed it. Awesome, Mike. Awesome.
Uh-huh.
Killed it for the big man.
Yeah, that's kind of true. He was one of those first people doing a stupid amount of flying stuff for a big guy. He wasn't all that big, but still.
Big enough.
Big enough. My number five was just, we brought it up earlier. A young Bruce Pritchard doing play-by-play.
Yeah.
I have no idea he ever did this, and he was terrible.
I thought we got
terrible.
It.
Terrible.
I thought we got him, like, in a couple of episodes, like, way back, and, like, I brought it up, and you're like, well, I didn't catch a name,
catch
and I was
that,
like,
but I did this time.
They said Bruce.
It's hard to, probably, if that is true, it's hard for me to pick out that it was him, because he's clearly, at the behest of Vince McMahon, not using his normal voice. He's using awful Vince McMahon-esque fake radio announcer voice and yelling everything he does, and it sucks.
He sounds
like
he's doing
the worst
like
Vince
McMahon
on color or on play-by-play, and Vince McMahon's already a terrible Vince McMahon on fucking play-by-play. And I was like, thank God this isn't something that took off. Get some red paint on this idiot's face. Put him out there as brother love. Mm-hmm. Don't give him any more shots behind this fucking commentary table.
But they did.
Love you, Bruce. Yeah, it's not your finest hour.
No, this wasn't for you, man.
Does that wrap everything up nicely in a little package for you?
We made it.
Buy the VHS for WrestleMania 4. We got a couple new feuds. That's basically the moral of the story this week.
Buy the Laserdisc of this show. Is it, were we doing a Laserdisc? Or what are we doing?
Get on that Microsoft marketplace and see if put some bids in.
Oh, they had like one of those things where like you had
Bing
little,
Bids. That's what it's called. Bingbids.com.
Bingbids.org. .net.
I love that site.
So we're going to let Microsoft pay the bills right here, and we're going to come back to you with more Baby Oil and Blow.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
5 o'clock. People in a hurry. Rushing for trains. For buses. Time to go home. To family. But for this man and 2 million like him, there is no hurry. No schedule. Nowhere to go. For them, the street is home. Their only home. The homeless. Just because you can't help everyone doesn't mean you can't help someone.
I can be any kid on the block. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
They're slugging it out. A left to the jaw. And...
oh, my block is knocked off.
But you can press it right back on. It's Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Press this lever. He throws a right. The other a left. Knock his block off. You're the winner.
Wait till next time.
You can Rock'em Sock'em with the Rock'em Sock'em Robots by Marks.
Hey man, this is criminal. This hard life symmetry of people in pits.
We don't bother anyone.
Or keep do doing
a three
our...
count.
Yeah, we do a three count. Here,
the mailman visits each of us in turn. Is that what the
I don't
the
know,
lyric?
Man. All I know is
that guy's he's too deep for me sometimes. Yeah. I think he's...
gotta live in a shit. Down.
Shit town? Yeah, man. I feel that. I live in a shit town. I drive a shit car. Let's go to a fucking live show, man. I'm going to take my shirt off and just bang out there.
Yep. Yep. How should we dress for this show?
Shirtless, that's for damn sure. Yeah. I know that right now.
Like, don't even show up with a shirt or take your shirt off and tuck it into your waistline?
Probably
going
to shave most of my head, but just keep a rat tail on the back.
That's going to look cool.
Might get a live tattoo before I show up.
I should probably have a goatee for this show.
Oh, a goatee would look real cool.
Like, I've got like my full
venue live concert.
I've got my full vacation beard right now, mm-hmm, and I could just trim it into a nice,
I'll just knock
90s
that down
goatee.
Into a 1996 era Ben Affleck goat.
And not like just mustache and chin, like the hip like goatee that like Brad Pitt and like the George Clooney's do.
Is very hip.
They do those now. I'm talking about like the fully connected goatee, where the line goes.
Yeah, just
your mustache connects to the chin.
Type where you show up to a bar and one of your buddies goes, "Hey, is that a goatee or a bullseye for your boyfriend?" And you're like, "Hey, fuck you, man."
Oh, how's them apples?
Yeah, it's cool hanging out with guys. Just like guys razzing guys.
Just the fellas just getting out.
Having some good times together.
Sometimes, like, you know, we get so forgotten about, and that's why I'm really pushing this hashtag We3 movement.
Uh-huh.
Like, don't forget about the fellas.
No, yeah.
We got rights, too.
Gotta get out there and fucking promote these men's rights.
Yeah,
hashtag, women will take them all away.
Hashtag We3.
I feel like on the verge of women just fucking taking away all of our goddamn rights.
Like, before the Selma Blairs and the Madonnas or whoever it was that got touched inappropriately by Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, I'm sorry, every once in a while men have to blow off some steam when they're fucking busy all the time running things.
Pay attention. Kevin Spacey was forcing himself on dudes.
Yeah.
Just because of how overworked he was. And pay attention. We just told you, Macaulay Culkin, he saw so much peen before he was like 12.
Probably saw Kevin Spacey's penis at some
point.
Probably every young actor in Hollywood has. And you don't hear him crying about it. No, he's just out there joining pizza bands and stuff.
Guys, he was in the video for Michael Jackson's Black or White, okay?
Oh, God, that's...
He's seen all the peens
I've ever heard in
my
life.
Absolutely. So don't forget about the fellas.
Get over it.
Guys, get out there.
What
hashtag,
would Macaulay do?
Hashtag We3. Don't be shy.
Is that a real hashtag?
You know.
Is that We3? What's that all about?
I've been saying it for the longest time. Okay. I'm really trying to get it off the
ground. I'll start spreading it around. I'm pretty good at hashtags. In honor of me getting punched in the face last night, I came up with a little idea for a 3-count this week. I figure our 3-count will do most punchable faces in pro wrestling history. You know, guys that just got those faces where you look at them and you're like, you know what? I'm a good guy. I don't look for trouble, but fucking dweeb. I just want to punch him in his stupid fucking face.
Punch that guy.
That guy's
just
such
right
a
in the snot
fucking
locker.
Dweeb. How does he live? Somebody's got to let him know that his face is unacceptable by punching it.
Right in the snot locker.
That's a funny word.
That's what my grandpa used to say.
Yeah.
Which, look at it now, it's weird because he used to be like, "I'm going to punch you right in the snot locker."
Uh-huh.
It's like, why did you want to punch your grandchildren?
I don't know.
That's probably that PTSD from World War II.
My dad used to always have this thing. I assume it's from some old man movie or something. Yeah. Something he'd pull out something and read. He'd always say like, "I don't want to hurt you. I just want to kill you. That's all." And I was like, "Dad,
that's weird.
Chill the fuck out, man."
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He's also a big fan of the "I'll give you something to cry about." And he's like, "I'm not even crying. Why are you always looking to hit me so much?"
We're just dealing through
a lot
some
of
stuff.
Threats coming out of that man, but you know what? He never bowed up, so I'm putting out the challenge now. After all those threats, you fucking never gonna swing? Come on, take a shot, old man.
You've been
take
the
your
gym.
Fucking
You're
shot, old man.
You're ready.
I'm ready
like
for
it.
It.
I like it.
Opening your mouth all the time, and then never having the balls to take your shot.
Speaking of little kids you want to hit, this is really segued nicely. We didn't even set this up.
Yeah, this is perfect.
This goes to the first one on my list.
Okay.
He was not a little kid.
Mm.
He was a grown man, actually. But then something happened in WCW.
Uh-oh.
Where this grown man took his mask off.
Ooh, picking up what you're putting down here.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure.
It revealed that one of the coolest wrestlers in all of WCW...
Booyaka, booyaka.
...was just a dumb little kid. This was the biggest, like, groan-inducing reveal since, Master Blaster in Thunderdome, you know?
Yeah,
like, take that mask off. Like, he's just
what's under there?
Dumb little kid under there.
Fucking nothing cool.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, unmasked Rey Mysterio. And then he had, like, dumb hair.
Rey Mysterio Jr., his stupid, gelled up little, like, fucking late 90s, early 2000s hairdo.
Yeah, like,
boy band
like
era fashion
tight
shit.
One little braid.
Fucking
yeah.
Hate. He started wearing those devil horns for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Rey Mysterio used to just be this cool fucking high-flying superhero. You take his mask off, and now you look like everybody's little brother. Like, not cool. I'm not trying to get with that anymore, man.
You got a dumb little kid face, and I just want to punch it square on.
Thankfully, he started getting a bunch of cool tattoos at that point, so like he's offsetting his baby face a little bit.
Yeah, booyaka, booyaka.
Yeah, I can see wanting to punch Rey Mysterio in the face.
Unmasked.
Unmasked. That voice, too, where he's like, hey, guys. Rey Mysterio.
Hey, guys.
Oh, fuck that
This is for Eddie.
If he was here right now, I'd pick on him. Yeah. I'd just start pushing him around.
Yeah, we could just get him between the two of us. He'd have nowhere to go.
Come on, just pushing him back and forth.
We'd be like a good foot taller.
Something.
Do something. Do something. Let's see.
Cry, baby.
Is your knee hurt? Yeah, we were pretty cool bullies.
My number three coming in here to this three count is Deborah McMichael. These are Stone Cold's notes right here. This is Stone Cold. I'll let him do that. No. My real number three, Frosted Tips era Michael Cole.
Ooh, I debated on putting Cole on my list just because
of his face.
Got
one of those sweet fucking 90s goatees we were talking about that just looks stupid. Fucking boy band era style. He's rocking those dumb frosted tips. Guy's got beady little eyes. Guy's got big old ears.
Beady little ass.
Like maybe he's like, he rocks sometimes like little
look at
stupid little pencil thin beards to try and like
look at you.
Give the illusion of having a jawline when he's really got no fucking jawline. Like, just the perfect storm of dweebiness always coming together in Michael Cole's face. I'll always want to punch his face, but that early 2000s when he just pushed it a step further by having the frosted tips going on, like, that one's getting the... I'm punching that ticket right there. That was the era when I wanted to beat this guy up the most. I support Vince McMahon and JBL for bullying him for all those years.
And here's the thing, man. I don't know if you want to count this as a PSA or not, but like...
Just get to it.
Sometimes bullying gets a bad rap.
Yes. Sometimes people need to know that what they're doing is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Whether it's just like... wearing a dumb outfit I don't like, or like doing too good at school.
Right.
Like
sometimes
knock that off.
Sometimes I'll get too drunk in like a public setting and I'm not afraid to like say like I disagree with what you're doing because what you're doing it is not cool.
Hey, hairdo. Knock it off.
Yeah.
People, there's not enough shame these days. We got all this like fat acceptance movement. Like it's cool to be fucking fat and shit. And people are throwing around words like ableist. Like, I've got a fucking, predilection to people who can do things well and don't have disabilities. Like what? You should want to be healthy and able. Like, this is a misfortune if people have disabilities, but you don't try to fucking promote them like they're some kind of virtue. Come on.
You know who, like, the biggest star was when I was a kid? Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he was gigantic.
Perfect.
He was gigantic.
I was reading some shit the other day about the deaf community, like, getting all mad because people are getting cochlear implants so they can fucking hear now, and they're like, that's racist against deaf people to make deaf people hear. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You people have lost your goddamn minds.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm hard of hearing as fuck. And I'm not even that old.
Sometimes I bully you for it.
Poor
like,
life choices, yeah.
What? Let you know you should be trying to hear harder.
Yeah. 10 years from now, I'm going to be rocking one of those. I don't even care.
Have some fucking shame. Try to better yourself.
I'm kind of scared Freddy Krueger's going to make it dig into my head. Like in a Nightmare on
Elm
Street
5. That's a really good Freddy Krueger kill right there.
Yeah, that's... Ooh, could we just do top three Freddy Krueger kills?
That'll probably be next week.
That's coming. Oh, Halloween show.
Perfect.
Scratch it down. Scratch it down. So you alluded to it, and I'm going to bully you a little right here.
Sure.
You didn't have the balls to do it, but me and Stone Cold do. I'm going to put a woman on my list.
Nice.
Because I found a woman that I'm just like, I don't like the cut of your jib, honey.
Fucking woman.
I'm going to punch you right in the kisser.
Punch her right in
the one of these days,
head.
Alice. Wham, zoom,
yeah,
right to the
moon. Yeah, that's fine.
You
used
know?
To be funny yeah. to threaten to punch
you
women.
You're going to hit a woman and
bring
I
bring it
to.
Back. People used to love it. Why not bring it back?
And I'm talking about the chairman's daughter, Stephanie McMahon.
Big Steph.
Oh, yeah.
You want to punch her, you better pack a lunch, buddy.
But
it's going to be a long road.
I'm not talking about just punching any old Stephanie McMahon in the face. I'm talking about punching Steph when she's doing that Vinnie Jr. routine. When she's going all in. Vince McMahon.
She's like poking her little finger in somebody's fucking face. Like just totally belittling them.
She's like, I gotta slap this established male wrestler.
Yeah, they gotta look like a fucking idiot.
To make him look like a fucking turd. Because you can't hit a woman.
Fucking 90s fucking
bullshit.
Every wrestler who was a good guy would be fucking kicking the shit out of her if she pulled shit. Now they all just got to stand there and look like a fucking wiener and take abuse.
Seriously.
No wonder nobody's over.
Seriously. The only person that understood it was Paul fucking Heyman. If he had this gold mine that was Stephanie McMahon in the 90s era ECW being like, I'm the boss, I'm the authority figure.
Seeing her panties when she got pile drove so many times.
Or when she got caned the fuck out of her mind by Sandman.
That definitely happened
He's
a lot.
Just drinking beer
She'd
and
be
just like
everywhere.
Beating the fuck out of this woman.
People
like,
would be going crazy watching her bleed everywhere.
Again, I'm not saying like you gotta hit women, but
I
sometimes you gotta
it.
Hit a woman.
Yeah, I'm getting quote me.
Yeah, I have a feeling.
Please don't quote me.
I have a feeling this episode's really gonna come back to haunt us at some point.
Please don't quote me on that.
Whew.
Not advocating hitting women.
Okay, well,
except for when they really ask for it,
like Stephanie.
Yeah,
yeah.
My number two. I think we've talked about this on the podcast before. Even stands out, real obvious one. 1-2-3 Kid era Sean Waltman.
Ooh.
Just dumb fucking mouth breathing look. Guy's got like no features. He's just like soft like Play-Doh. Before he like grew that beard, like he didn't even have a semblance of a face. He
was
like a Dick Tracy character or
it was
something
just,
like fucking blank.
It was just eyes, a little bit of a nose, and then it just kind of disappeared.
If you had to describe him to a cop, you'd be totally screwed. Just like kind of just like a beige circle. I don't know.
Is it like a face?
He looks like Mark from Home Improvement if he had a mullet.
Ooh.
1-2-3 era fucking 1-2-3 Kid era Sean Waltman.
Yeah.
Just also just dead look in his eyes, baby doll style. Just like constant fucking dead look in his eyes.
I'm gonna tell you right now.
Some Bucky Beaver fucking issues going on with his teeth. Like
he still had that dead look Saturday night.
Even after a couple of zoots.
Didn't matter. Just dead. Nothing's back there, man.
Speedballing it. You gotta balance that shit out.
I have a feeling he's seen Macaulay Culkin type things.
Right now, I'd totally bro down with Sean Waltman. Looks fucking cool. He's got that beard. He's got that bandana.
He was dressed super cool, man.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
He had that leather coat going, even though it was like 90 degrees outside.
Oh, gross. Why did you have a leather coat on?
Because it's a persona, man.
1-2-3 Kid era Sean Waltman, though. Nope, nothing
not
doing.
Cool.
I'm punching you in that beard.
Do not
want to
hang out with that guy.
Get out of here.
Take a walk, pal. But I tell you what. When there was that girl that worked at Off Square Brewery.
Okay, yeah. I
was telling you.
I was hanging out with Yolanda the other night, and she had one of her coworkers there, and she was pulling up the pictures of 1-2-3 Kids.
Yeah.
And this guy says that Debbie or whatever her name
right,
is looks just like this, and the guy was like, holy shit, she does look exactly like that.
I'm going to tell you right, she cut her hair, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
Because, like, when she had long hair, it was, like, really doing weird things to my peen. Like, I was like, you look like 1-2-3
well, Waltman
Kid.
Waltman cut
like,
his hair, too, now, right? He's got short hair now,
right?
No,
it was pretty long.
It was still long?
Yeah,
I thought
long.
He shaved his head.
No.
Okay, well, I was going to say, maybe she's just going for the current Waltman
nope,
look trying to
nope.
update it, but I guess not.
Yeah.
Fake news.
It messed me
Fake
up,
Fake news.
It messed me up. Unless he was wearing a piece.
Could be.
Ooh,
I can see Waltman getting a weave.
Should have just act like I slipped on the wet tile and just given it a yank. So my number one, the face I wanted to punch more than any face in the world. We've spent a lot of time talking about how this man has no business being in the position he's in. And then finally they realized, like, what if you just wanted to punch this guy in the face? And then somebody managed to make millions of more dollars.
Smart.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan. Wow. That's a coming out of left field for me. I wasn't expecting that.
Think about every stupid face that motherfucker made and every good guy promo. Lips always out. He's always just doing stupid
mustache.
Dumb shit with his face. He looks like an idiot. His eyes are bulging out and his lips. Mm-hmm. He's always got like pout poo-poo lips. Like,
yeah, he does like that Donald Trump shit with his lips.
Yeah, he's like, always.
Little kissy face.
He was never pushing his lips out at any moment of his baby face career.
It's like, what do you think you are, Mick Jagger? Nah, you ain't no fucking Mick, buddy.
Right. And
he's trying to do kissy face at me.
His whole fucking Hulk up routine was a toddler pouting, throwing a temper tantrum. He'd just walk around the ring going,
Hogan. Always hated me some Hulk Hogan. We've been talking about it since the inception of this podcast.
It's
finally coming to roost. He should have been on my list too. You're right.
Right. And then finally, like, Bischoff.
I think I just didn't put him on there because he's so big I wouldn't punch him in the face because he'd just probably kick my ass afterwards. So
yeah.
I think I mostly stuck to people who I think I could take.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might have bit enough. kind of have a tendency to do this.
Yikes. Scrappy Doo strikes again.
I'm going to take a powder. You finish off the list.
My number one, how do you pick anybody else? It's, to quote Jim Cornette, Bucky fucking Beaver himself, Kevin Dunn.
Oh.
Fucking idiot WWF producer. This guy's got such terrible buck teeth. His mouth can't even close fucking ever. He looks so stupid. He famously refuses to be photographed. Jesus.
That's a pretty cool thing.
Guy looks like the fucking mortician that gets fired for having sex with the bodies. Like, you could tell this just guy's a loser, nerd, creep.
Heart wants what the heart wants.
Got a little bit of power by stumbling into this big position in the fucking WWF and just uses it to try and live out all of his, I want to get back at the bullies who picked on me when I was a teenager fantasies. Guy's
there.
A dick bag.
Stayed there forever.
Anybody who's anybody fucking hates him. His fucking production style's stupid. All the dumb shaky cam he does and shit. All of his opinions I've ever heard, he's always wrong. He's one of the main guys who just keeps WWF wrestling awful. And it all just adds to his face looking so stupid and me wanting to fucking punch him right in it.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's hate-filled.
If I see him, I will punch him in the fucking face. You better hope. Just like Chucky the doll, better hope that he never runs into Rick Steiner in the street. Fucking Kevin Dunn, better hope he never runs into me in the street.
Better hope you don't, Chucky.
I'll be going to jail that day.
Chucky! No, next okay, week, what do we got?
We're supposed to be going back to WCW.
I don't want to.
Good, because it's our 50th episode. I'm not making us.
Oh,
I'm coming up with something special. Something special, a little treat
Jesus.
For us. I'm pushing that NBA Jam rule to the end. You know, 1993, we still consider, that's the cutoff, we still consider it 90s.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a special little thing. We're going to watch a Coliseum home video. We're going to watch Smack 'em Whack 'em from 1993.
What?
I happen to know that it has on it a match I don't think I've ever seen, which is Bret Hart beating Ric Flair for the WWF title.
I just broke your coaster. I got so excited.
Oh, that's Amanda's coaster. You're going to have to, she's cool. Going to come after you, man.
She's got to be here to know.
Yeah, that's true.
Man.
Smack 'em Whack 'em. Coliseum home video next week for Baby Oil and Blow's 50th episode. Baby Oil and Blow.
Baby Oil and Blow.